Hey, let's jump in the Word for a few minutes because I'm smelling carne asada. Today is a great day. Just want to talk and bring some awareness to you concerning just a real thought that we've been enjoying all day, that God's a fun God and God likes to celebrate. I don't know how you were raised in church, if you were raised in church or not, or my grandmother and grandfather went to a certain church, a congregational church up in Connecticut, and every time we went to go see them, the sister was up in the very back. I don't know if some of y'all remember the kind of church where you walk through and you walk through the door and the pulpit was up there similar to here, but there was no musical instruments up there. There was nothing up there. But when you walk through the double door and you kind of look back, up there, up on the top, there was the organ lady. And the organ lady was up on top with some kind of elaborate organ, kind of like, man, like an Alfred Hitchcock crazy kind of sound. Come on, somebody. And you know, you were kind of, the music was playing, and you go, who's playing that, you know? And so she was playing lightly, and no one talked in church. You don't talk in church. You don't smile in church. You don't look at anybody in church. And so Grandma came to church, and we called her Grams. And Grams would come to church, and there was pews. There was no chairs. And nothing wrong with pews. Pews are beautiful. But there was a bench. And so she'd get down into where the pew was, where we all start sitting down. And Gram would just go down there and put that little kneeler down. You know what I'm talking about? And she'd kneel, and she'd pray, and she'd say some stuff to the Lord. And I was a little kid. I'm like, man, wow. But you know, Graham was never real happy in church. She was never real happy. I mean, she was a happy kind of person at the house, but never a happy person in church. And really, we didn't see anybody at that church smiling until after church was over. Maybe it was because after church, everybody went downstairs to the basement, to the cellar, and they had donuts and free coffee. Come on, everybody say, hey, praise the Lord for that kind of church. So we'll help you with some donuts one of these Sundays here coming up. Look at a great scripture. Many of you know it, but let's talk about some stuff today. Again, bringing awareness to you about what God thinks about certain things. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came. Come on, read it out loud with me, will you? I came that they may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I really believe you can't do life without fun. Fun serving God, fun being with family, fun serving others, fun giving and seeing what God does and rewards you. It's fun serving God. I love my family. I love our church. I really love our city. I love being here. I want everything I do to have a degree of God and really God in the center of it all. I don't think God's just a Sunday thing or just sometime I get some kind of emotion or some kind of benefit from God and I think, whoo, I just want to kind of praise you. I believe God wants us to think about Him constantly, to have fun in who He was and who He is. I'm in the house all the time and I'm having fun all the time. I'm messing with my kids all the time. I'm hiding. I'm trying to scare my kids or scare. Come on, somebody. Hiding, trying to pick on them, trying to do something, having fun, just enjoying life. And I believe God wants us to have that kind of life. The scripture says, have and enjoy life. That's what it says. And have it in abundance. Come on, everybody, in abundance. Till the full, come on, till the full, till it overflows. Come on, some overflowing love and some fun and some life. And this is really a word that's the life of God. The life of God. That's what it says here. Enjoy full to the life of God. It's a Greek word, means zoe, the God kind of life. So I really believe if we're going to enjoy life, we have to have the God kind of life. Now, before I was serving the Lord, I thought that I was enjoying life like some of y'all. And so the life you enjoyed really brought pain the next day, regret the next day, headache the next day, hangover the next day. But that's not the kind of life that God wants you to have, because that's life, quote unquote, with sorrow, with sorrow. And so really we could ask the question, do you want that kind of life in overflow? Probably not. Probably not. Talk to a guy who I ride with, I cycle with. He's a great guy. Hopefully, we're going to be able to get him to come here and tell his testimony. He got an amazing, amazing testimony. He's a Christian now. And while we were cycling, he told me a little bit of his story. And he said he was addicted for years to heroin. And so he said that, you know, after, I'm not going to do it. And then he'd do it. And it would give him that high, right? But then all of a sudden, after that high broke, there's regret, there's remorse, there's pain. That might be a temporary life, but it's not life till it overflows. It's not life in abundance. It's not life to the full. God wants you to enjoy the life that He's given and wants you to celebrate and have fun being with Him. When you read the Bible, it actually says this, that Jesus was accused of being a glutton, of being a drunkard. Really, one of the thoughts there along those lines is that he was just having too much joy and too much celebration. Now, when you think about God, as I do too every now and again, just thinking along these lines, that, come on, everybody would agree? God's got some serious business to attend to, wouldn't you agree? Come on, He's ruling the universe. He's got to put up with you and He's got to put up with me. But when you read the Bible, it actually says that God likes to celebrate. That God likes to sing. In fact, let me freak you out. God dances. God dances. Now, I guarantee you, He doesn't dance like Renee, but God dances. I'll just tell you flat out. We'll talk about that in a minute. Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12. Look at this in the Message Bible. Look on the screen behind me. But you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. You think that God's, that's your idea, God? You'll welcome me with open arms? David says, let the party last all night. Stand guard over our celebration. He prays, God, stand guard over our celebration. You're famous, God, for welcoming God seekers, for decking us out in delight. And in context, if you read that whole chapter 5, David's really talking about he's being harassed by the enemy, and he runs to God who welcomes him. And God's just saying, he says to God, God, let's party. Let's party. You gave me favor. You gave me blessing. Let's celebrate. You're an awesome God. And God doesn't tell him no. Come on, somebody. Now, again, our idea or the way you're brought up and the way without God, maybe some of you like you brought up without God. And so the way you celebrate is you got to have certain paraphernalia. You got to have certain things. You got to have certain requirements to make you feel good, to celebrate. And God says, no. You just got to have me by myself with you, and you can have a party. But it's even better if you just have some other people to celebrate with all the time. Come on, somebody. It's this amazing scripture when you read it over in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel. The Ark of the Covenant got lost, if you will. It got stolen away by the Philistines, and the reason it got stolen was through Israel's sin. But through an amazing course of events, you can read it there in the book of 2 Samuel, the ark got brought back to the nation of Israel. And David heard about it, so David went and got the guys back and brought the ark back to the temple where it was supposed to be, the portable temple at the time, the tent. And so as he's bringing it back, the Bible says that David actually did this. About every 6 or 7 paces, he slaughtered animals, sang and rejoiced and worshiped God. Every 6 or 7 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he'd kill an animal and rejoice. They'd walk 6 or 7 more paces. And they'd kill an animal and rejoice. Pretty amazing celebration. The Bible says that when they got back to the place where they actually put the ark, the people came together and brought offerings to God and were celebrating and worshiping God. David, as that ark was coming, he got so excited about it coming back that he was leaping, dancing, twirling around. Wow. You know what? There was no rebuke from heaven saying, stop it, that's excess. God must have liked it. After the service was over, after they did everything that they did, the Bible actually says everyone got a goodie bag. It was an amazing party. That's what it says. Everyone got a loaf of bread, they got dates, and they got raisins. Come on, somebody. And so listen, when you go home after church, guess what we're going to give you? Tacos. God, God didn't tell a prophet to tell David, quit celebrating. Quit celebrating. Quit rejoicing. Quit being happy. Church is serious. Serving me is serious. Get that smile off your face. Don't dance. Don't jump. Don't worship. Don't sing. Be mad. You don't find that. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it actually says this, that Jesus is anointed with the oil of joy and gladness. Anointed with joy and gladness. It sounds like Jesus is pretty happy. So can I ask you a question? Where's your joy gone? Where's your joy gone? You need to get happy because God's a happy God. Again, when you read the Bible, you'll read in Matthew that Jesus had a course of disciples with him, and he's reaching all kinds of people, and the Pharisees were after him, the Sadducees, all the religious people trying to pin him down. But there was a group of people that you find regularly were around Jesus, and he didn't say, get away from me. And they were all these kids that were like right up here. The Bible says that kids flocked to Jesus. And Jesus took kids in his arms and he blessed them. He blessed them. Now, I know something about kids because we've been in church long enough to watch my own kids. And you know what I found with my own kids? My own kids don't want to be around grumpy, mean, ugly people. And neither do your kids. Kids are attracted to somebody who's full of life. Come on, everybody. Full of joy. Happy. And I believe that's the nature of God in us to understand that God wants us to think like Him, to be joyful, to have a celebrating attitude, to enjoy the day, whether it's 100 degrees out, everybody say praise the Lord, or whether it's freezing out, whether you're through a challenging day, that you just celebrate the day with God because He gave you this day. He gave you this day. You're here in church. I know a lot of people, and you know a lot of people, that they're restricted to a room. They're restricted because of health reasons. They're restricted because of mental reasons. But here you are today, and you can celebrate this amazing day in church. Come on, somebody just lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. That's just what we say, thank you, Lord. Huh? Wow. Somebody said this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. Think about that. Joy is the serious business of heaven. The Apostle Paul said to a church at the Philippians, he said this, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Come on, say that with me. Rejoice. Rejoice. You know, a lot of people can't do rejoicing because they just never have joyced for the first time. So come on, be a person who's just full of joy. Be a person that you just switch the channel to say, I could cry about this, but I'm not going to cry no more. I'm just going to get excited and just magnify my God. That's why we worship God around here. We just tell you, we show you here what you need to have in your life every day of the week. Don't let it be a Sunday thing. Let it be an everyday kind of thing. Amen. There's an old school preacher, some of you heard him before, he's long gone to heaven, his name's Charles Spurgeon, really an amazing theologian. He said, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. Wow. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to this pastor, Timothy, and he said, tell your church people this, don't be proud, don't trust money. But you should trust in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Enjoyment. God actually wants to bless you that you go through life understanding that everything God gives me, He blessed me for my enjoyment. My enjoyment. And again, if we think that we got it ourselves or we deserve it, we're entitled to it, then we might not quite enjoy it the way we need to enjoy it. I want to encourage you, bring God into everything that you enjoy. Bring God into everything that you enjoy. Of course, I'm cycling now, love bicycling. You know, rode up Palomar Mountain yesterday, hotter than Hades, Amazing, 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 amazing. Rode up that whole mountain, and I'm riding, and flies are all over my face, and they're sucking the sweat, and I'm beating them off, and I'm barely cranking up there, and I'm going, but I love doing this. I really enjoy this. Oh, God, help me make it to the top. Huh? Bring God into everything you do. Bring Him into everything you do. Listen, let Him be the joy of what you enjoy. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes. Solomon was David's son. The Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived. Notice what he said here. I've noticed one thing at least that's good. It's good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work. Do you do that? Come on, I know some of y'all enjoy eating a little bit more than others. Come on, somebody. But it's good. You got somebody talking back to me in the front row over here. Watch him over there. Ushers are going to have to take him out. Oh, wait a minute. He is an usher. Oh, hell, help me. Help me look. It's good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy the work under the sun during the short life God has given them. Guys, if you live to be 80, it's still short. You live to be 90. I don't know. It seems short. So the Bible says here, it's good for you to eat. Enjoy what you're eating. Enjoy what you're drinking. Enjoy your work, because this is what God's given you. He says it's a good thing to receive wealth from God, from your labor, and to enjoy the good health that God's given you. Enjoy life. Again, this is a characteristic of God. God is a happy God. Come on, look at your neighbor and show those pearly whites. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now, some of y'all look like Shark Week. I saw y'all. And then I just got a shout out. Because, you know, I see. Come on. How many know when you're up here preaching and up here, I can see things you can't see? Come on, somebody. And so I got a shout out to a couple back here, Larry and Libby, Morgan. They looked at each other and Libby went. Come on. Give a shout out to couples who still kiss. Ah, that's for not wanting to see my shorts, Libby. A couple weeks ago, she says, I bind you from wearing shorts in church. Hey, I want you to hear from somebody this morning that really enjoys life. You can't get around this person and not really seeing the life of God rub off on you by what she does. You see her every single week up on the stage. She actually plays a piano for us. And if you've ever kind of seen her, she's like into it. And she's got her cool little high-heeled shoes on, tennis shoes on. And she's playing the piano. And she's always going like this while she's playing the piano. It's Candace Hopkins. Come on up here, Candace. Come on, give it up for Candace. Candace Hopkins. Hey.
So, hold it up tight. There you go. Serving is a big deal to God, and so, like in Hebrews 6:10, the New Living Translation, it says, "For God is not unjust; He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him, and you have shown your love for Him by caring for other believers as you still do." So he's given us all a gift, a talent, or an ability, and he wants you to use it for him because he knows that when you serve him, it's going to show to other people the love of God. So there's been different times in my life that, like, I really enjoyed serving God, and I thought it was really cool what it said on the front earlier. It said God is a fun God and God loves to celebrate. So worship is really just celebrating. So whether you're on stage because God's given you a call for that or whether you're out here, it's just a big party, and the angels are rejoicing in heaven with us. So when you serve God, it's going to propel you into a greater relationship with Him. And when you're serving God, you're drawing near to Him. And James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. So when we went to camp earlier this month, I spoke for like 5 minutes, and it was the funnest thing I've ever experienced. Because when you serve God, you prepare a certain message, and then God comes and he changes the order. And so you're flipping through your notes and you're like, all right, God, I know I wrote that down somewhere. And so, but when he changes the order, it flows perfectly and it changes people's lives. And so I'm really just like humbled and honored to be able to do that and this. So that is cool. Thank you. For the teenagers in here, if you don't go to youth group, you should seriously go. It's so much fun because that's where you make your best friends because you're surrounded by other Christians. And it's even better to serve in youth group. Like on Friday, me and a couple other youth, we went over to Kevin and Clarissa's house where we were having youth group, and we set up and we were just jamming and we were playing different worship songs, and then we later that night ended up playing the songs.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking to her.
Oh, okay, sorry. So there was a quote that I read the other day, and it said, God's people cannot be shamed into serving God. They need to be challenged. So no one's going to try. God's people cannot be shamed into serving God. They need to be challenged.
Good. Good.
So I challenge you, find your place in the church. This is our church, and there's different, you know, there's the body of the church. So there's the arm and the leg and the hand. And so, yeah. So pray to God about it and just say, God, where have you called me to be? He could put you in different positions, whether you're an usher or you're on stage with us or you guest speak sometimes, like Brittany's going to. And, yeah, so pray to God and find your place in the church and really just jump in. Thank you.
Awesome. Come on. Give it up for Candace! Enjoy. Come on, somebody say enjoy. God wants you to enjoy what he's given you to do. Look at the scripture on the screen, Zephaniah 3:17. Old school scripture from the King James. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Notice this. He will rejoice over thee, that's you, with what? Joy. Wow. The word joy there and rejoicing over you means that God is going to display his joy over you. He will rest in his love over your life. He will joy over you with singing. That word joy there means that God's going to spin around with emotion when he thinks about you. God thinking about you going, my God, look at my child. Anybody with their kids? I mean, now we've got kids and grandkids. And so now with Taylor around, she's just 10 weeks old. And so yesterday, she's right there in my lap. And I'm looking at her and we got contact and she's smiling back and forth at me. And so we just start singing. I just start singing, right? The B-I-B-L-E. Come on, somebody. Yes. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God to be I be. And she's looking at me saying, you sing a good G-pop. Dancing, singing. At our house, you know, now Isabella's over there some. And we love having Isabella over there, you know, 7 years old. And so when Isabella started coming over the house, I'm going to tell her a secret, okay? Our secret. I started grabbing her. And I said, Isabella, let's dance. And she said, no. And I said, come on. When she was five, I said, put your feet on my feet. Come on, every dad knows that. Put your feet on my feet. And we'd start doing it. And let's dance. Let's just dance. Let's just dance and have fun. And then pretty soon, guess what now? Every time Isabella comes over, she would say, let's dance. Yeah. Right? God is a God who is rejoicing over you. Listen, God is a God who's singing over you. Singing. Wow. In the Old Testament, God instructed the people of Israel to have festivals with music eating, singing, and rejoicing in God's faithfulness to them. Here's one occasion, Deuteronomy 16. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating for your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites and foreigners, orphans, widows from your town. 7 days you must celebrate. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 7 days. This festival to honor the Lord your God at the place He chooses, for it is He who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Sounds like God's a happy God. Wow. Wow. The book of Revelation is a heavy book if you've ever read it. It's a heavy book. It's a book about what's coming at the last times and some stuff that's kind of previewed and some things maybe we're in right now. Sure looks like it. But when you read the book of Revelation, you'll see also included in it, it talks about singing and no more tears and rejoicing and worship and praise and celebrating. In that book of Revelation, you'll find a phrase that talks about all believers will be welcome to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb is capital L, Jesus Christ. And it's really a party thrown in Jesus Christ's honor. God is a happy God. God likes to sing. God likes to dance. God likes to celebrate. A couple more scriptures and we're going to have some fun outside. Over in the book of Luke, we'll read two passages here in closing. It says in Luke 15, in the Message translation here, notice this. Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour through the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors, celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Come on, yeah, you can clap a little bit better than that, can't we? I found my coin. I found this. I can't believe it. Celebrate with me. And the Bible says now Jesus talking, angels in heaven throw a party over every person. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been away from God and you've just been distant from the things of God. That's not anything to be ashamed of. You just have. But today, you just make a heart adjustment and a turn toward God. Listen, angels will be rejoicing. God will be rejoicing. Heaven will be rejoicing over your decision to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice what it goes on to say in Luke chapter 14. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you find it? When found, you can be sure you'd put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, you'll call your friends and neighbors. Same kind of scenario, saying, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Wow. A lost coin, a lost sheep are amazing to find. But a lost person being restored is better. So if that's you today, we're just really thrilled you're here. Really thrilled. No judgment. Don't need to know everything going on in your life. Because anytime that you need to dig up all kind of stuff in your life, then somehow I got to get my life right with me before God, before I think He'll actually receive me. Which is totally wrong. God loves you. And He wants to take you from where you're at right now and to put you and move you into a new direction. It's called amazing grace. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't criticize you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't guilt you. He doesn't shame you. He won't bring fear into your life. There's nothing to fear a God who loves you. Wow. God really shows His love of pleasure in the designs for the world. We can look it around all around. We look at all these animals that He's designed, these crazy looking animals. Wow. Crazy things that we see in the animal kingdom, in the aquatic kingdom, in the bird kingdom. We see stuff with just oceans and lakes and streams and mountains and the beauty that God's made. God, someone said that God created taste buds so we could sample an innumerable variety of flavors and enjoy their uniqueness. God's given us the ability to hear sounds with music or notes or verbal responses from people that we can be attracted to. God has done amazing things in all of our five senses so that we can then contact this earth, contact one another, and contact the things that He has made for our enjoyment. So instead of blocking all that, instead of causing us not to enjoy all of that, God has given us direct ways to experience all that. Listen, God is amazing. But here's what I do know. You cannot enjoy life without God. You really can't. It might be temporary. In fact, the Bible talks about sin that'll last temporarily. And again, you kind of think that it's enjoyable or think that it's pleasurable, but really there's no lasting joy. It's just a very, very short season. It could be a short 10 minutes. It could be a short 3-minute high. God wants you to find joy and gladness and happiness and pleasure in serving Him and in knowing Him. Knowing Him. Wow, ability that we can know God. Listen, we are thrilled and we're so excited that all of you are here today. God came, Jesus came, became man so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We could have it to the full. We could have it till it overflows. Come on, everybody. He wants us to know Him and be able to go through life and enjoy our work, enjoy what we eat, enjoy the labor of our hands, enjoy relationship with one another. And that's the focus of why He came, that we could know Him, know God, and be in relationship with one another and share with people who don't know Jesus that Jesus came to set them free and deliver them from a hold of sin or shame or guilt, things that we deal with all throughout our whole life. When you read who Jesus touched, anybody who came to Him, He always welcomed them with open arms. So listen to me. In the next couple seconds, we're going to have prayer partners up here at the front. We call people that just pray with one another. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know Jesus or you're away from Jesus today, and maybe your idea of God has been really skewed by that church or that person or that situation that happened to you, I want to encourage you today that before we go out and enjoy food, that you just say, today is a day I want to have a turnaround in my life and I want to serve God. Today is a day you're telling me that I can enjoy God. You're telling me that God wants me in His life. I thought that it was just me pursuing God. But you're telling me that God is pursuing me? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And He's singing over you. Come on, everybody. He's singing over you. And He loves to be with you. And He loves to make contact with you. And His heart's extended. So I sent Jesus. So I sent Jesus. Jesus was the bridge between an unapproachable God and sinful man. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price. He bore my shame and your shame and our guilt, our separation from God. Now He says, you don't come to me based on performance. You come to me based on your knowing Jesus Christ and what He did. Come on, stand up, everybody in the room. You've been sitting for a while. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right there as the prayer partners come on up here to the front. Right there where you're standing, your head's bowed, just close your eyes. Give everyone the right to privacy. Here this morning, just say, you know, that's me, Pastor Gary. I'm here. I've been here before. Maybe I'm just here invited by a friend.